The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk
with Matter Private Network. During current restrictions, don't ignore your health concerns. Our expert team is ready to help.
Now, the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Simon Coveney, has said that the EU is now negotiating with a partner it simply cannot trust. Now, this is after yesterday's unilateral move by the British government to change the way the Northern Ireland Protocol is implemented. And Minister Coveney said progress was being made, and then the UK just jumped the gun and did this thing, which might have been the result of the talks anyway, but they did it unilaterally. And he went on to say that's why the EU is now looking at legal options and legal actions, which means a much more formalised and rigid negotiation process as opposed to a process of partnership where you try to solve the problems together. And also, with threats of a potential withdrawal of loyalist support for the Good Friday Agreement, we are heading for choppy waters. I'm joined now by DUP MP for East Antrim, Sammy Wilson. Sammy, good morning.
Good morning.
So what do you make of Simon Coveney's comments that the EU is actually negotiating with a partner it cannot trust?
Well,
on the face of it, it's true, isn't it?
No, it's not. And I think when it comes to trust, Simon Coveney ought to look at his own record in relation to how people in Northern Ireland view him. On one hand, he talks about maintaining the peace in Northern Ireland and protecting the Good Friday Agreement, while at the same time, as David Trimble pointed out a couple of weeks ago, he was one of the instigators in ripping up the Good Friday Agreement and the assurances within the Good Friday Agreement on the principle of consent, which was vital, and also on the voting mechanism in the Northern Ireland Assembly, which would safeguard minorities in situations where controversial decisions were made. Yeah. And the ripping up of the Good Friday Agreement, of course, is what has provoked the reaction from the loyalists in Northern Ireland and their letter to the Prime Minister. And, you know, we have also had these weasel words from Simon Coveney and other ministers in the Republic that they want to protect the peace in Northern Ireland and they want to look after the people in Northern Ireland, while the protocol quite clearly is damaging our economy. And indeed, the Irish government are then trying to use that damage as a means of diverting trade away from our suppliers in Great Britain to the Irish Republic. So, I mean, when you're dealing with a bunch of chancers, it's very difficult to...
All of this was provoked by the Brexit process. I mean, you were within the single market. Everything was working great. North and South, no. Seamless border, all the rest of it. And then you guys decided, unlike the rest of Northern Ireland, basically the majority of Northern Ireland, you guys decided that you wanted a Brexit. These are the fruits of what you've sown.
Yeah, and see, Pat, that's the problem. The people in the Irish Republic can't understand that Northern Ireland is part of the United Kingdom. And the United Kingdom as a whole voted to break free from the shackles of Brussels and to have its own freedom and regain its own sovereignty. And Northern Ireland as part of the United Kingdom was tied to that vote. In fact, we were told it was a United Kingdom vote. We were told by even those who campaigned in Northern Ireland that they recognised it was a United Kingdom vote. Mm. And then, of course, when the United Kingdom voted in a way which they didn't like, they tried to bring this idea around that, well, different parts of the United Kingdom could have different results.
But this has probably precipitated another referendum in Scotland, because they also, as a territory, voted to stay in the EU. They don't like the result, and the inevitable consequence of this will be a second referendum, and who knows, the breaking up of the Union. So, you know, to say that the overall majority for Brexit, narrow though it was, is the final say in the matter, it's simply not going to be true, is it?
Well, it is the final say, because the referendum was the final say on it. The people of the United Kingdom voted. They voted to leave the EU. We have now negotiated to leave the EU, albeit Northern Ireland's been half left in it. That's the result. And it doesn't matter if it was narrow or wide result. That was the result of the referendum. I mean, you've had referendum in the Irish Republic.
Sure.
and you never consider whether it's a fine result or a wide result. You simply have a referendum and you abide by the result
agree.
Of that referendum.
By the way, Sammy, I totally agree that the result of the referendum, that's how it is. What I'm saying is that the consequence of that result, given that within Northern Ireland there was a majority to stay in the EU, possibly based on North-South trade, North-South freedom of movement and so on, because quite a number of unionists have had to vote to remain in the EU for that majority to be there in Northern Ireland. So although we accept legally the consequence of the referendum, there are consequences. And you're enduring or enjoying part of those consequences, which some people would say you've got what Boris Johnson wanted to get and didn't get for the rest of the UK. You have your cake and you're also allowed to eat it, having access to both the UK and the EU markets, admittedly with a bit of bureaucracy thrown in.
Well, it's not with a bit of bureaucracy. And of course, if you think that tens of thousands of people across Northern Ireland cannot get goods which they order from GB now, that businesses are having their supplies interrupted, that the horticulture industry is now virtually cut off from its suppliers in the rest of the United Kingdom, that businesses have to abide by petty EU rules. I mean, for example, we have had goods turned away because we're on the wrong pallets. We've had lorries turned away because they had soil in the treads of their tyres. I don't think that you can actually say we are having our cake and eating it.
It seems that the EU inspectors
are determined to punish Great Britain through Northern Ireland for daring to leave.
Yeah. These EU inspectors, are they not people who live in Northern Ireland, who've been born and bred in Northern Ireland, who would have Northern Ireland's best interests at heart?
No, because you see, whilst the inspectors at the ports are UK officials, they're directed by EU officials who are also there as well. And indeed, the protocol makes it clear that the UK inspectors shall carry out inspections in the way which is directed by those EU inspectors who are present. So, you know, here we are, we're supposed to be a sovereign nation, and yet we're having the rules dictated by inspectors appointed by Brussels.
Yeah, but isn't this all down to a fear of some sort of United Ireland by stealth? Isn't that really what it's about?
No, it's currently about two things. First of all, in the immediate time, it's about the economic disruption which it is causing to Northern Ireland, and I mean that's well documented now. Nobody can deny it. It's not teething problems. It's long-term economic disruption which is going to persist unless we get the protocol changed. And secondly, and more importantly, it's about democratic accountability, because Northern Ireland uniquely will find itself subject to EU laws made in Brussels, imposed in Northern Ireland, with no say from the United Kingdom government or indeed from the Northern Ireland Assembly. Mm. And if we do not abide by those laws, then the European Court of Justice will be able to make decisions about what sanctions are imposed.
Here's the rub.
Let me point that out.
No, but there's a fundamental point here, though, Sammy.
Nobody in your country would accept that. No one in your country would accept
that
laws can be made without any reference to their own politicians and imposed by a court outside your own country.
But Sammy, here's the rub. You say that, you know, the Brexit verdict was an all-UK verdict, so that holds. What Boris Johnson and Frost and his negotiating team negotiated was on behalf of the entire United Kingdom, and that includes you. So they negotiated the protocol on your behalf, whether you like it or not. So if you are genuinely see yourself as part of the UK, then like it or lump it, you have to go along with what the UK has negotiated for you. That's the if you truly feel that you're part of the UK.
No, and equally, since the UK is not regained its sovereignty since leaving the EU, then it is quite right for the UK government to look at the consequences of the protocol, realise that I can't understand why they didn't say it at the time, but realise that the consequences are not what they expected, and indeed interrupt and deal and damage the UK internal market, and as a sovereign government take the action which they deem to be appropriate, and that's what we're saying to them to do. In fact, we're saying go further.
But if you don't like a deal, as
are not just the answer,
Sammy. If you don't like a deal, whether you're a union negotiating with an employer, and you do the deal, and then it doesn't work out the way everyone thought, you'd go back to the negotiating table and you say, "Look, we've got problems here." And that process was ongoing in a very informal and cordial way, it would appear, until yesterday.
Well, it wasn't, and that's just the problem. In fact, after the last round of talks in the Joint Committee, it was quite clear that the EU were not for moving. In fact, if anything, they were saying, look, despite the damage which the protocol is doing, and that's with grace periods in place and with certain exemptions being made, despite that damage being done, we're insisting that you go further and you implement the protocol to its full extent, knowing that that would cause even further damage, and arrogantly demanded that the UK government do that, even though, of course, they had taken steps to undo part of the protocol when it suited themselves. And I think that the UK government, in frustration, has quite rightly said, well, look, we're not going to have our own country damaged in this way. And we do have powers under the protocol to act unilaterally. And that's what we're doing. And I think that's perfectly reasonable for them to do so. And indeed, I would have thought it was very unreasonable had they not taken the very limited steps which they've taken. And don't forget, these are very limited steps.
All right.
And don't deal with the core problem of the protocol.
Yeah. This is obviously a story that's evolving at the moment, but a question from one of our News Talk listeners for you, Sammy. Post-Brexit, are you still advising constituents to get an Irish passport as you were doing before the deal?
As far as I'm concerned, if people want to get an Irish passport, they're entitled to do that. And if they wish me to sign for to verify who they are for that Irish passport, I'll still do that for them, because that's a job which is a constituency MP.
Would you get one yourself?
No, I wouldn't. No, I'm British.
Not even for convenience to jump
queues
and that?
No, not even for convenience. No, I mean, let me tell you, I'm British, I'm not Irish, and I will carry a British passport and have the protection of the British state as a result of that passport.
All right. Sammy Wilson, DUP MP for East Antrim. Thank you very much for joining us.